stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Get ready for the most popular morning show anywhere on the internet. You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Mia right here on LA Talk Radio. If you'd like to take part in the show today, give us a call at 323-203-0815. And now your program hosts, Sam and Mia.
Indeed. We are the hosts, right?
I believe so, yes. Last yeah. time I checked. Yes.
Okay, then we're the right people behind the mic this morning.
I think so. What's my name, Sam? You're Mia, right?
Yeah, Sam that Mia, was, yeah.
Right? Oh, wait, no, I'm Mia. You're Sam. I don't know. It's whatever. It's
I
Wednesday
used to know someone happens. Whose name was Samia. Believe it or not.
What?
Yeah.
Shut up.
No, really.
Oh, my gosh. That's
yeah.
what we need to call ourselves now.
Yeah, Samia.
I freaking love it. That's got to go up on the website.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Okay. I know. So today's Wednesday, which is hump day according
yes.
to you, and you like Wednesdays.
I do like Wednesdays.
So that's a good thing. Today's actually June 26th, which means the month ends this weekend, right? I think mm-hmm. Sunday's the 31st or something. Oh, the 30th. June has only 30 days.
Yeah.
And just to let you guys know, we're going to be away for 2 weeks. And starting Monday, I'll be going to Israel and spending some time with my son there who's visiting.
Yay.
And I'm sure you're going to have a lot of great time, too. You can sleep in a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm actually going to go home myself.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm going go to go to Chicago.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, visit my
yeah,
family.
Yeah, that's
a
good opportunity.
Work on the Dead Girls movie. Last I check, I'm still executive producer, so
really?
I should probably be there for some meetings and updates. And,
yeah, that
know.
Would help, huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah.
But,
so do you guys have any projection as to when it's going to be ready?
I mean, stuff like that. I mean, you never know. I mean, it takes a long time.
It does,
you
huh?
know, post-production and everything. So,
right.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm excited.
Well, whenever it comes out,
progress,
it's good.
So,
yeah. Dead Girls is always going to be relevant. It doesn't matter. You can release it 20 years from now.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
I don't know what it is with people. You know, death, violence, and women, they put it in the same sentence. I don't get it.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I actually saw World War Z last night.
Oh, okay. With Brad Pitt.
Mm-hmm.
How was it?
It was good. It was a little scary. Like,
really?
I
was
mean,
it scary?
It wasn't scary, but for me it was. I'm such a friggin' baby. Like, I can't handle anything scary. So, I mean, I'm glad they didn't make, like, the zombies, like, super, like, grotesque and scary. Because then I would have never, you know, have never gone to see it.
Right.
But, I mean, the way they, you know, showed it in, like, the previews and everything, it was like...
Yeah.
They were just, you know, just sort of like a little bit creepy looking, but not like
right.
super creepy looking.
Yeah, so you
I was
could
like,
stand
eh,
it.
Maybe I could tolerate it. But they were definitely like, you know, they kind of make it obvious, like when you know a friggin' zombie's about to pop out at you, like with the ominous music and the dark, quiet hallway.
Right.
It's like, okay, I'm just going to maybe cover my eyes just yeah. a little bit.
I know, there's like an obsession with zombies in this country, you know?
I know.
I mean, all these shows now and...
Yeah, first it was the, like, the uprising of, like, the whole vampire thing.
Right.
Like, that was the huge thing. And now I feel like it's starting to shift over into zombies.
Right.
And now zombies is, like, the
That's
new
true.
Thing.
Yeah, vampires were all over the place. That's
yeah.
true.
I
and
still
now
watch
zombies.
True Blood.
Do you?
Yeah, I think this is now the sixth. Season, I want to say.
Wow.
I read all 11 of the books. Like,
really?
I love it. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I love True Blood. Although last season was, I mean, there was nothing like that in the book, I feel like. It wasn't
yeah.
exactly my favorite, but so far this season's pretty good.
So that's with vampires and stuff, right?
Yes.
That
that's
show.
Like
okay.
vampires, werewolves, and shapeshifters.
Oh, okay. Excuse me.
Yeah, you've got a trifecta of supernatural in that one. Oh, and fairies. Can't forget that. Yeah. Pretty much all the supernatural is now a part of True Blood. It's fascinating. I love it.
Yeah. Did this start with the... what was the movie with Kristen Stewart? And?
Oh, you know what? I've never seen Twilight. I've never seen any of them. I've never read any of the books.
Really?
That is like the only like vampire series
but it sounds,
that I didn't go near.
Exactly. And they have werewolves and shapeshifters too, I think. Yeah,
yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that obsession with it.
I never watched it.
Yeah, I know. I don't get it. But, you know, I'm just not attracted to shows like that. But what can I do? Yeah. You know what show I did start watching is Stephen King's Under the Dome. Have you heard of it?
No.
Yeah, it started like the other day. It's going to have 13 episodes based on a book.
Huh.
And this is something, it's amazing because these people in a small town, suddenly there's like a wall around them like that you can't see. It's like glass. And it appeared out of nowhere, and nobody goes in or out of that town.
Yikes.
So just imagine the whole story behind it and stuff, you know? You've seen like an airplane flying, suddenly, bam, he just hits something invisible and he falls off the sky, or birds falling off the sky, you know, because they all hit that barrier.
God, can you imagine? Oh, yes. No, thank you.
So it's like a clear dome over the city, and... yeah, so I can like stand as close as I am to you, but if the barrier is between us, we can't hear anything, we can't touch each other or anything.
And it just appears out of nowhere.
Yeah, out of nowhere. And you know what? At the end of the book, he still doesn't explain where it came from or what it was, you know.
Oh.
That's Stephen King, yeah. I mean, he'll just put you through the action and leave you wondering, you know.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
So, yeah, so that's pretty good. And like I told you, I don't watch TV, but that came up and I read the book, so I thought, what the hell?
Mm-hmm.
The trailer looked pretty good too, so I watched that. But never True Blood, you know. What about Breaking Bad? Do you watch that one?
Oh my God, I love Breaking Bad. Oh my God.
What is
so
that
good.
One about? What is that one about, like generally?
Okay, it's basically about a high school teacher. He teaches science. And then he starts, like, making meth and dealing with methamphetamine. But there's so much action in it, and it's so intense. And Bryan Cranston and Aaron Paul are such amazing actors. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, it's absolutely mind-blowing. Like, I feel like the pilot, it felt like a movie. Like, it was probably one of the best pilots I've ever seen.
Wow.
Yes, hands down, by far. I was like, oh, my God. I was just amazed. It's so good.
God, I got to catch it, too.
Yeah.
It sounds pretty good. They probably have it on video now and stuff, so
probably,
I can start from the beginning.
Probably, but the last 8 episodes are coming up now, and then it's going to be finished. I'm so bummed out about that.
Really?
Because, oh, my God, it's so good.
You can always watch it from the beginning, though.
It is so good. Like, it's the one show. Like, when I started watching it, it was already a good, you know, couple seasons in.
Mm-hmm.
So I would think I was watching it on, like, Netflix. I think I was, like, probably sick or something, and I was just kind of in bed trying to rest up for a couple days.
Yeah.
And I could not stop. Once I started watching, it was just boom, 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 like one episode after another until I got better. And then I was all better. I was like, oh, man. Then I would still, like, rush home to freaking watch it because I was just so obsessed. So I'm like, I have to finish it. I have to know what happens. So good.
Yeah, I used to be like that with The Sopranos, and there used to be a show called Dynasty. I don't know if you knew it. It was before your time, I think.
Probably.
See, our guest remembers
that,
but that was in the 80s.
With that one,
but yeah, I used to have to watch that show every day. It was like not every day, every week, but it was like a prime time soap opera. You know?
Wow.
Yeah, but everybody loved it. It was just amazing. Yeah, everybody was dressed up and, you know, and they were rich people, you know, so. So that was pretty good.
Okay.
So, before we get to our guests, we have to mention the same-sex marriage win by the Supreme Court today. And a lot of people are very happy.
Yeah.
Prop 8 was struck down in California. And,
it's funny that you mentioned my shirt. Like, I didn't even realize. I didn't hear it until, you know, I heard it on the radio, you know, coming over the hill this morning.
Right.
And I was like, oh, and then I got to work, and you're like, oh, your shirt is rainbow.
Yeah,
you're
rainbow
representing?
Shirt.
I was like, you know, I didn't even know that. Like, that's such a funny coincidence.
Yeah.
Like, oh, how about that? And it matches my nails. I finally redid my nails, so they're not the Hawks nails anymore. My superstition streak is now over. So.
So hot snails is what? Something you buy at the store and you apply and stuff?
Oh, no, no, no. Just the colors of it.
Oh, the color.
For the Blackhawks. Okay. Yeah, that's why I did that. Because they kept winning, so I didn't want to take it off and change my nail polish color. Because I got a pedicure, and I love this color, and I've been wanting to buy it so I can do my fingernails to match it.
Right.
And, so I finally got to do that yesterday. I sound like such a girly girl right now. Yeah. I go from being, like, super sports-oriented to, like, oh, my gosh, Manny Petties.
I know. Well, you know, I mean, that's the thing. I think many girls grow up as tomboys, and then they become really feminine, early 20s.
I've always been a pretty even balance of both. It's
really?
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you grow up as a tomboy, though? I mean, did you used to do boys' things?
Actually, no. I mean, I liked the sport hockey. Like, my brother and we were, like, part of, like, the little, like, park district team, for inline, which is the rollerblades hockey. And then in the wintertime, they would actually freeze the rink, and then it would become ice hockey. Mm. So then we could, play ice hockey that way. I was never really very good. My brother was a lot better. Like, I'm terrible at sports, but oh man, do I love to watch them.
Yeah, you love mm-hmm. to watch them.
Yeah.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't like to watch it or do it. There you go. But no, I enjoy football. Football, I enjoy. It's good, mm-hmm. I just need to be familiar with the new teams again and stuff. All the new players and that.
It's a lot to keep up with.
It is. I don't have the time or the patience for it. What can I tell you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, let's get to our guest who's waiting impatiently here. And
she's like squirming in her
really?
Seat.
Really?
Yeah. Was I talking?
No, I'm just listening and enjoying. I'm just responding to your conversation.
Yeah, well, that's good. That's good. It means you can't wait to talk. You know, that's a good thing. On talk radio, you want to talk. It helps.
Well,
Yeah. So we have Sophie Venable in the studio. And
am I on? Am I?
You're on.
Yeah,
you're very on.
She's on.
Yeah. And so you used to have a show here called MILF Talk.
MILF Talk, that's right. MYLF, Make Your Life Fabulous.
Yeah, it's actually you did a Play Awards there and stuff, so we have to explain.
I don't know what you're referring to.
Yeah, so we have to explain that it's MYLF.
Right.
Yeah.
Clever.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's not. It doesn't mean a mother you'd like to, And,
well, it could.
It could,
okay.
Right?
I mean, let's just, call a spade a spade.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, no, it's all good. It's all good. Yeah. So I did MILF Talk for about a year and a half. It does stand for Make Your Life Fabulous.
Okay.
And I'm a life coach. And, MILF Talk started as an advice show. But as we know, people don't generally call in very much to talk radio anymore because everybody's got their own damn blog. So, they don't need to be heard. Remember when you used to listen to Dr. Laura and stuff, and people were just, God, those phone lines were just full, and people would call in with their questions.
Yeah.
And
my mom would listen to that religiously.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, that was the kind of show it was. Yeah.
And then, I'm still working on the book, and so I just, I did the show for about a year and a half, and hopefully if you'll, have me, I'll probably do it again. Yeah. I want to get the books done. I just had kind of an off year last year.
So tell us about the book. So you're coming out with a book?
I am. I'm writing a book and a half. And
a book and a half.
Well, but I've been working on MILF 101 for a couple of years now, actually. And I have just this. I had this big pile of shit that I'd written, And it's coming together though now. Yeah. I kind of took a year off because there's a lot of loss in my family.
Oh wow.
Lost my stepdad and my dad. So all in a 4-month period. So it was kind of a crazy year last year. So we're just kind of recovering from all that with the family and everything. And I finally feel like this year I'm kind of getting back into a groove. So
cool.
And the writing's flowing. So,
and it takes a while to write a book.
it sure as hell does. It's really like, like you were talking about your movie.
Mm-hmm.
You
really
just,
can't put a date to it.
You can't.
It
it's so hard. Sometimes it'll just flow. I'll write 60 pages, or something. And then it will just, it's like pulling teeth to write another 5. And, and then you get worried about it being the best book in the whole world. And it really doesn't.
It doesn't
have to be.
Right.
It just really has to be authentic and what I want to say.
Right.
If I want to, and there's so many self-help books out there.
Right.
I sort of feel like everything's been said, then people say, well, no, but we want to hear how you say it. And I was like, okay, all right. Yeah. If I were to give you advice, I'd be like, no, just say it the way you want to say it, because everybody wants to know what Sam has to say. And,
That's true.
I have to take my own advice.
That's true. So Yeah, so it's taken you already a couple of years, but you said you kind of had
a year off. Yeah. I really did. You know, yeah.
Are you able to pick up where you left off?
Yeah, actually, in a better way. I think a lot of what I wrote, I liked, but it didn't have any kind of
cohesiveness.
Yeah, right. It was just a lot of stuff. You know, right. Like I said, you know, I think sort of walking away from it, you know, it can kind of gel, and then you start to see how it's all going to kind of come together,
right.
You know, and then I can refocus it into something that makes sense. And so I'm happy with how it's coming out. And I have four or five friends going through a divorce at the same time right now. So the other book is a book about divorce.
Wow.
Yeah. So, which is.
And you divorced
rampant.
Too. You've been divorced, right?
I am divorced. Yeah. I have what I would consider a very good divorce.
Uh-huh.
You know,
ended at good terms.
No, it ended pretty rough, to
really?
Be honest. But we're on good terms now.
Good.
Yeah, we are. I mean, that was, you know, my parents did that. My parents, and that is a big point in the book. My parents managed to stay friendly and actually even have holidays together. We never had to really choose between our parents. And
wow.
And so my mom spoke kindly at my father's funeral, and you know, our family has always felt like a family because my parents were able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say my dad was like a brother to her. You know, you're really especially if you have kids with your ex, you're family.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
yeah. Always.
You are, like it or not, you're family.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, you know, it's not your kid's job to process your grown-up relationship problems.
Mm.
You know, they don't need to process
right.
why you split up.
Right.
They don't even understand.
No, they don't
what
understand.
It means to have a boyfriend or, you know, any of that shit, let alone get, you know,
right,
to be married and have children with somebody and be in love and fall out of love or have problems or fall in love with somebody else or whatever the hell happens to everybody,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
They don't get any of that. You can't make them process that for you, you know? So that's, you know, that's kind of a big point it's a big point in both books, really, is that you kind of have to own your shit and you have to rise above the temptation to kind of drag everybody else through the mud with you. You know, it's your job to be the grown-up. I mean, you're a parent and your kids are suffering through a change that has not their fault. And
right.
So you have to do your best to just rise
above.
Yeah,
and it's nobody's fault, really. You know, I mean, it's just a breakup is a breakup.
Oh, it
you
can
know?
Be. No. Oh, really?
Sophie,
I think there's people out there that would disagree with that. No.
Okay,
yeah, that's true.
Sophie knows people.
No, it takes, but I see what you're, it takes two.
Yeah.
There's always two sides.
No, I mean, the thing is that some people do, you know, unreasonable things in their marriage and stuff, there's no doubt. But the thing is that it's always tragic to break up a family, you know, regardless of who started it and all that. It's just everybody suffers, you know.
Right.
So, and especially the kids, you know, but everybody believes that it's going to save the kids if you break up, you know, so... You don't have, so they don't have to deal with the fighting.
Well,
and
there
all
is
that.
Some truth to that. I
is
mean, sometimes
there?
A family can function much better in two households. I mean, sometimes they can. It's, you know, again, I feel like I have a pretty healthy divorce, and actually, my teenage daughter, she loves my boyfriend and loves her dad's girlfriend, and she just sort of feels like she's got, because she has two households that are equally involved in her life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like one of us pays attention to school and the other one doesn't,
or
you know, one of us can get them to dance but the other one refuses to do so or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, she really has. I have two daughters, you know. My 9-year-old's still pissed off about the whole thing, but, you know, I don't blame her.
Aww,
she's 9, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And she's so funny. But not that it's funny that she hates it. I'm not saying that, you know, obviously.
You mean funny.
But she's funny in her way that she sort of expresses it. She sort of lets you know, like, you know, that's,
yeah,
I'm going to draw the line right here, you know. But there are, you know, I feel like I've been able to really demonstrate a very loving relationship. I mean, she literally says, like, I hope, you know, I hope I have a relationship like you and Mark, you know, like my boyfriend, you know, and his kids like our relationship. And so even though they like the fact they thank me all the time that their dad and I get along. Because they're meeting, you know, they're friends.
Yeah.
Their friends' parents can't even be in the same room with each
other,
you know?
Right.
And
that's
terrible.
True on the other side of it.
You know, the flip side of it, sometimes you just can't, you can't. People think you can prevent a divorce. If somebody wants to, if one person wants out of the relationship, and that was, this is what was stunning to me about this. You know how, like, and I write about this. You know how, like, you know how in spy movies there's that red laser light beam stuff, you know, and then they like clap the chalk dust, and then they can see it, you know, and then like they can get to the diamond or whatever, you know, that kind of like laser beam.
Right, right.
I sort
okay.
of think of yeah, that, yeah. like when I was going through my divorce, it was so blindsiding to me that I was thinking, like, that's the structure of a marriage. Mm. It's this sort of invisible laser beam. Complicated.
Yeah. Where you can't navigate through
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Like, well, no. And it's, but it's like this complicated structure. It's okay. kind of intangible, and it's, you know, there's so many things. Well, what I didn't realize is both people have a light switch.
Yeah.
There's not one that you have to agree to flip. It's more like a three-way switch in your hallway.
Right.
You're like, no, I can flip it off. Oh no, I can flip it off. I'm like, well, but I don't want to turn it off. Okay, but I do. Mm. You know, it's both people have the option to turn it off.
Right.
You know, you don't have some sort of guarantee because you kind of have this piece of paper between you and the estate.
Right.
You know, there's no guarantee. So, you know, when people say, oh, well, I'm never getting divorced, I just want to go, well, I hope that's true. I hope that's true and you're never getting divorced because you're so happy and you're both so happy. But you don't always have control over that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know?
And it does happen and people grow apart, you know?
Yeah. And if it does happen, then you have to make it the best situation that you can make it for everybody involved.
Right.
You
right.
can be in resistance to it and just make it this shitty, dramatic, horrible thing for 20, 30, 40 years, though, your whole life, if you want.
Right.
Your parents can be 90 years old and not talk to each other. come on.
Yeah.
You know, like you had kids together 70 years ago. Get over it. You know, like it's or you can make it the best that you can. You know, you can let your kids know that you got married because you fell in love and you had babies together and they are a product of that. And
exactly. You know, and it doesn't always last forever.
And it
you
didn't
know?
Last 50 years.
Yeah.
You know, I'm so sorry.
Yeah. And maybe it's not supposed to, you know, I mean, who says it has to last forever? You know,
we live a long time. Forever is a long ass time now.
It
you know,
really
we,
is, yeah. you, know?
You know, when humans live 35 years, forever was like, whatever. Okay. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right,
yeah. But to be with the same person for a few decades, that's difficult.
Yeah,
it's now, not easy.
It's you're on your second marriage,
common
is that correct?
Thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's difficult, you know, so.
Well, and it may not even be applicable.
Right.
Difficult or not.
Yeah.
It might be like, hey, we've gotten to this. I mean, sometimes people do have a divorce where they have a glass of wine and take a yellow piece of paper and write down what they want and give each other a kiss goodbye. And,
right.
And mm-hmm.
sometimes it happens.
Sometimes you say we're not growing anymore.
Right.
And we move forward, you know, because people want to evolve.
Yeah, because people are not the same that they were when they met, you know. I mean, some people are, but some people grow apart, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you realize that's not the same person I married.
Yeah, or what this is doesn't feel like love anymore.
Right.
It might feel like something else.
Right.
But, well, I mean, it might feel shitty, but it also might just feel like a business partnership.
Yeah, exactly. Like you love them as family, but not in love with them anymore or something.
Yeah, and then some people would argue, well, you know, why are you entitled to feel in love all the time? Not everybody feels in love all the time. But boy, I have to say, though I would never have just, you know, chosen this for myself and, you know, regardless of my children or whatever, but my divorce was unstoppable. And what a treat and a special thing in life to be able to fall in love again at a time when I know myself a lot better.
Right.
You know?
Right.
That is not all bad.
Yeah.
You know?
And nothing bad about that, man.
Yeah.
You can always start over, you know?
Yeah. And it's exciting.
And you seem very happy with this man you have. I mean, you've been together for a while now, right?
He is so...
Yeah, I know. She always posts things on Facebook and stuff. She's told me.
No, he is.
And
we've
it's so
together,
refreshing.
Yeah, we've been together almost 5 years.
Really?
And, yeah.
Wow.
And
so
it's
still happy.
It's pretty fresh. Yeah. It's very. It's he's just really loving.
Right.
You know, we're both very interested in showing our love. You know, like really. I don't think that love is just a feeling. Mm. You know, love is a verb. It's about being loving. You can't just sort of say, well, yeah, but I love you. But it's like, but you're being shitty to me all the time. That's, you're not
yeah.
being
like
loving.
Actions speak louder
actions,
than words.
You know,
yeah.
it's
yeah.
love is a verb. Sometimes. And mm-hmm. that's when you are met emotionally as a grown up and you really... you have that giving and receiving and that really circular love in a relationship, it's like magic. Mm. It's like a fucking miracle in your world.
Really?
It really is. It's yeah. just, I mean, I just feel like, wow, that's what life is about.
Yeah. That's true. That's you know? True. And sometimes you have to try once, twice, three times until you find someone.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Sometimes you gotta, you know, slot around on Match.com
a
little
time.
Bit.
Right. There you go.
Now, how did you meet your wife? How did you meet?
We met on J-Date.
Oh, you did? Okay,
yeah.
Well, I met Mark on Match.com.
Did you really?
Yeah, yeah, I did.
So
I love
it does
that
work.
Internet. Yeah, you find some good shit on the internet sometimes, you know?
Yeah, just sometimes.
Shoes. Books.
Sometimes you find a lot
music,
of trash there,
people.
Too. Man.
Yeah, shitty people.
Yeah.
Sure. Oh, yeah. 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 No, you know what? I will say this, though. I mean, if you have, you know, if you have any insight into people, you can tell a lot by what they say in their profile, right? And
right.
and how they email back and forth.
Yeah.
I didn't meet too many jerks. I really didn't. I, you know, I could screen if they started to get all like pushy and weird in their emails, you know,
yeah.
just don't go
hey,
on
you
them.
Look for the signs, you know,
yeah.
you look for like the
red flags.
The big keyword, ladies, red flags.
Red
that's what we always look out for
flags.
In the beginning.
If he has 22 pictures and 21 of them are with his cat.
You'll pass, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, no thanks.
Yeah.
Or with their cars and their motorcycles.
Really?
Oh, yeah,
people
that's
like
great.
Do that.
When a guy will just, like, and he's got sunglasses or a helmet on in every fucking picture.
Oh, yeah.
So you can't tell
right.
what it looks like.
What do you
not,
really
what
look like?
What are you
like?
Selling me here?
Yeah.
Are you selling me your car and your motorcycle?
Right?
Yeah.
You know,
maybe
your,
his attitude
your bitchin'
status,
dog
you know?
Or what? But, yeah, exactly. I'm like, now next. Okay. Yeah, so.
That's too funny.
Yeah, that's true, you know. And yeah, I don't know. I think sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, you know, on those dating sites
online,
and stuff.
Online, sure,
yeah.
sure.
I just think there's, like, so much competition going on there, you know. It's like, how do you find anybody?
That is interesting because, I want to just preface this by saying I love men, mm-hmm. and I love how men think, and I appreciate mm-hmm. the male mind. So when I say this, it's not an insult. But it's difficult to be a woman online and dating men who know that there's a catalog of women
right
to continue to choose from.
But it goes the other way around
home.
Too.
It does.
Right.
It does. How, you know, but because women do this thing where if you kind of work for them on paper,
right.
they sort of fill in the gaps. They've got the next 6 months to 6 years planned. You know what I'm saying? And guys, yeah. they just know they want to see you again and
right.
might want to see you naked. Like
right.
that's all they know, you know? So, that's great.
Uh-huh.
That's all they should know, honestly,
oh, really?
Right? I mean, come on, women, ladies, stop fucking planning your whole life after one date,
that's
you
true.
Know?
That's so
and,
true.
And
females
so,
are so emotional.
It's so frustrating to when they're like, well, it didn't, you know, and yes, you're right, it works both ways, but there's sort of a, well, I'll know it when I see it mm-hmm. or when I experience it. And so sometimes you don't get the second date because they're already home. If the guy's good looking, he's getting hits all the time,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and so he's literally got a catalog of women to
right.
choose from.
Yeah, but you know what? I don't think guys get even a small fraction of what women get, you know? I mean, I would imagine, because, you know, when we talk to women here who've been on dating sites and
yes.
stuff, they get like 1,000 messages a day.
Yes.
How many can a guy get, you know? And
right.
and even if he's chasing the girls and stuff, if everybody's going after the beautiful girls
mm-hmm.
and they have 1,000 responses,
and
what
they
are
can't
your
respond
chances?
To them all.
Exactly.
And then when they don't, they get these angry emails
yeah.
about what a bitch they are.
Exactly.
For,
so that's
for not
what I'm
responding,
saying.
You know? It's like, oh, no,
whoa.
it's rough. I mean, I
think those sites are playing us, you know, that's what they're doing. I mean, I think there's more men, there's probably a lot more men than women on those sites, and I think it's because it's natural. I mean, it's
but
you
don't
know,
you think of course, I mean, just like anything in the world, I mean, there's shitty people out there, and there's great people out there. I mean, I'm like the greatest person that I know under a rock on the internet. And so I feel like, let's say, you know, a lot of people meet their love in college.
Right.
Okay, college is what? A couple thousand people thrown into a little microcosm,
right.
You know? You're going to meet good people and
right, not so good
players
people.
And,
right.
you know, and everything in between. And
right.
so that's what I was talking about, the screening process and the red flags and mm-hmm. stuff like that. If you can kind of tell that somebody's right. like got a real agenda when they're, you know, emailing you or they say yeah. something in their profile that really turns you off, don't pop, like move on.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah. yeah.
But
don't go only based on pictures,
yeah.
you say.
It's like it's well, better to figure
yeah.
that stuff out now rather than
you can figure a lot out. I mean,
yeah.
think about it. You know whether they're divorced, you know whether they have kids, you know whether they want kids, you know whether they are religious, you know if they want to marry somebody Jewish, you know
mm-hmm.
if they talk about the Bible a lot in their profile, or if they say you have got to be a cat person, or I had one guy get really mad at me because he was so into riding his motorcycle every weekend.
Mm.
And
yeah.
he talked about it a lot.
Yeah.
And I said, well, you seem like a really cool guy. He seemed very smart. I said, but I'm not really into riding motorcycles. Actually, I'm really into dancing, and that takes up a lot of my weekend time, you know, so I
yeah.
don't know if we would be a really good fit,
uh-huh.
you know?
Right.
Just, what do you want to do for recreation? You want to go ride Angeles Crest Highway? I want to go to a ballroom, you know?
Right.
What the hell? So, and he wrote me back that he was so mad.
Right.
I can't believe you didn't even give this a chance because you didn't even meet me because that, and I was like,
oh, wow.
But I don't want to ride on your motorcycle and
yeah.
that would probably break your heart. So, really,
yeah.
what the hell am I supposed to do?
That's
yeah.
true,
so,
yeah.
you find out a lot about people. So, well, and then there was really going to be no date because now he's.
Right.
Now he's like
right.
all borderline
it's
psychopathic.
Off, yeah.
so
yeah.
I'm like, well, now I really don't want to give you a time. Kind of
but, you see, but I think that's the problem with online dating, because what happens is this. You look at a profile, and it may look good on paper. It may not look good on paper. But just think, you could have met that person somewhere else, and you wouldn't have paid attention to any of these things. You know, like if he's married, if he's too tall, too short, it doesn't matter. If you hit it off with them, then these things fall by the wayside, because then later you say, okay, you know what? I can live with this. I can live with that. But when you look at a profile, you're saying, I don't think I can live with this. I don't think I can live with that.
Hey, you know what?
And
the
you
only
strike
thing,
out so many
deal
people.
Breakers.
Yeah.
yeah.
No, I know. I know.
Sometimes
I know.
There's deal breakers.
But to go based on a profile, based on like a grocery list, almost a shopping list, doesn't make sense to me, because I don't think people fit into boxes like that.
Yeah, but is that how it works though? Like, I'm just curious. You make a profile and like does like the computer try to match you up with somebody that they
some sites
it depends
they do,
on the site. Like eHarmony is one of those sites that you can't even search for people, they match you up.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah.
A
funny story
yeah.
about that. But and Match is more of a you can do searches and stuff, and you can specify your searches. You know, I want
right.
somebody who mm-hmm. doesn't want children, and I want, you know, all those things. But
right.
when you meet somebody like at a bar or a market or a school or whatever,
uh-huh.
and you get invested and you fall in love, and of course you're not supposed to talk about whether or not you want kids too
right.
soon, because then that guy runs away, freaks out. So
so
then you get 6 months into it and you've already had sex and you're bonded and you're, you know, involved, and it's like, oh, by the way, I don't want children.
Mm-hmm. So that's
I would have
breaker.
Rather I would have
yeah.
rather have like just
known about it before.
Move
yeah,
on.
But don't you think?
Yeah.
But don't you think you could have talked
yeah,
about it
true.
Before
well,
6 months
sure.
was up?
Well, of course, 6 months. Okay, maybe, you know, maybe even 6 weeks. But I mean, you know, people have sex very early on now,
mm-hmm.
and
yeah, except for me.
well, you
I have rules.
You have you. But you see, you save yourself a lot of heartache, because I don't care what anybody says, and I have no problem with casual sex or whatever anybody wants to do. I
right.
like whatever, try to offend me. But I do think that you're putting yourself out there to bond with that person
mm-hmm.
in such a way that it's going to be way harder when you figure out that maybe things aren't a match.
Right.
And you do end up going through a lot more heartache. You know, I mean, I just think there is a difference. I'm not telling anybody to not have sex until their 18th date or whatever. I don't care what you do. But you have to own the fact that you're putting your heart out there a little bit more if you're going to go ahead and...
You're saying you'll become vulnerable sooner,
yes,
which is maybe too soon in a relationship.
The physical intimacy is ahead of the emotional intimacy.
Right.
And there's an assumption that there's more emotional intimacy than there actually is because you're bonding sexually.
Right.
It's just chemical.
Right.
I mean, you can't, you know, the two don't, they're chasing each other. You know, you're not, and so then somebody says, well, this isn't working, and it's really painful. Even after 6 weeks, it can be really painful. I shed some tears over people I knew for a month.
Wow.
You know, I mean, it's you're really putting yourself out there.
Right.
You know, and
that makes sense. You know, I mean, you're making some sense there. You know.
Finally.
Yeah. Finally. Yeah.
Finally.
Yeah.
It's like catch 22 for me, I guess. that's why I kind of, you know, was like, I'm just going to do me for like a year is because I don't want to like get myself in that kind of situation.
Yeah.
It's tough. It's really tough.
Yeah. And forgive me for being crude, but I promise you, if you were to do everything except intercourse, you would be less hurt when it doesn't work out. There's no denying that there is more of a bond once you start.
But, you know, aren't you being a little negative, though, by saying, well, you know, if when it ends, all this stuff.
Oh,
I mean,
honey, how often does it work out? Do you know how many people have short relationships?
No, I know. But the thing is, at least be able to remember some good sex in the process, you know?
You know, I get that. And I would probably be more on your page as far as that goes. I mean, I don't have a lot of regrets, but I cannot tell you that I didn't shed some tears.
Really? Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
I'm a girl.
Right.
I'm a girl,
right?
You know, and we
get sentimental.
We, you know, we're our kitties and our hearts are connected.
I think they are.
And I'm not saying men. I'm not. Men can be very connected that way, but they,
that's true.
But it,
they
have a little easier time filing it.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that was really
so
great.
True. Well, women are.
And again, I'm not even saying that doesn't make them cold or anything like that. It's just how we're made. It's just how we're wired.
Right.
You know.
That's very true.
You know. So I just think that if people are really really afraid of just, you know, getting their hearts laid all over the place, one of the easiest things to do is, I mean, it's kind of hard, but is to just hold off on the sex a little longer.
Right.
Because
you can kind of,
and even if you like fool around a little bit, like just hold back a little bit, and then you can kind of get to know each other a little bit more. You can even kind of get to know each other's bedroom personalities a little bit. You can kind of, you know, and then if you're like, oh gosh, that kind of doesn't work.
Yeah, but you know what, as grown-ups and stuff, it doesn't make sense like to go make out and then stop in the middle. I mean,
sure
what is this?
Sure
what is this? You know,
maybe
it's
different for me.
It's called blue balls.
No,
that's such crap.
Yeah, because you don't have to go through it.
Is that the only way to have an orgasm?
No,
that's
true.
Of course not.
That's true. But still, you know.
I mean, you know, I'm just saying it's an option.
Yeah.
And that grown-ups, if you're old enough to do it, then you're old enough to talk about it. And grown-ups can't put the brakes on for a couple weeks. Mm-hmm. You know, what's the big rush?
Right.
You know, once you get there, if it's good, you're going to be doing it all the time.
But how's a couple weeks going to help? I mean, how much do you really find out about a person in 2 weeks?
You can find out a lot.
Yeah, if you're with them all the time.
You can find out if they follow up when they do say they're going to call. You can find out how they deal with it when, you know, their friend comes into town. Or there's all kinds of things that happen.
But they do say that after men have sex, then they behave differently, excuse me. So, I mean, so even if they wait maybe the 2 weeks, 3 weeks, they still may go back into that pattern afterwards.
Well, I don't know that that's necessarily true, because I think that you can learn a lot about a man and how he treats you and how every day, you know, every conversation you have, how does he feel about his mother? How does he treat the waitress? How does he do this? What if you have, like, go and you sleep with a guy on the second date, and then you go to dinner with him on the third date, and he treats the waitress like shit?
Uh-huh.
Right?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's, that'd be
that
worst.
Is a date you'd be really glad you didn't fuck him the night before.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. I mean, because that is like a deal breaker to me. Yeah. I mean,
right.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Don't be rude
for sure.
To people.
And that's huge what thing I'm to look saying. For is how they treat the waitstaff. Something my mom always told me. She's like, when you're on a date, like, if they're, like, really rude to, like, the waiters and stuff, that's kind of a red flag.
Yeah. Yeah.
So she's like, make sure you look out for that. Okay, Mom, I will.
Every time you get together, every time you have a communication, every time you set a date and you see how, you know, he handles that, every time that you have an interaction, you're learning a little bit more information.
That's true, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And so I actually think that you can learn a lot in a few weeks about somebody and how they treat people. And whether or not you've kind of opened yourself up to him, literally, or not, it's going to make it easier for you to make decisions that are really about what you truly want and not the fact that you want to prove that it was okay that you let that happen.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, because I think girls do that. They're like, I shared myself with him and now I'm going to take the spackle out and I'm going to fill in all the cracks and I'm going to pretend I'm not really learning what I'm really learning and I'm going to make this okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're already invested.
Right.
They're all, you know, they're sexually bonded and they're already invested.
Yeah. No, of course, you know, I'm just curious because everybody's different. But what would you recommend, like, as a good time frame before people have sex in a relationship when they start dating?
Gosh, you know, it's funny. That's such, you know, some people say, like, 8 hours of FaceTime. You know, like, 8 hours of face-to-face time or whatever. I think it's so, it is a variable. I think that... because sometimes you meet people through friends and you sort of have a sense that they're not a serial killer and you kind of know, you know, where they live and where they work and you kind of know, you know, a little bit about them. Or, I think if it can be a relatively sober decision, based on feeling very, safe and appreciated by that person, even because if you feel safe and appreciated, even if it doesn't work out, that can... You know, again, you can be more in that position of, hey, well, at least we had some great sex.
Right.
You know, or kind of with you on that.
Exactly,
you know,
yeah.
Like I have to say that in my situations, I would say that I felt very safe and appreciated, even if it didn't work out.
That's true.
You know,
because I mean, you know, if the thing is, if you take the woman seriously, you don't want her to think you just want her for sex. So you kind of wait a little bit. That's what you're saying.
Well,
like, don't be in a rush to have sex in the beginning.
Yeah, you know, but and that's a hard thing to say because people have chemistry.
Exactly.
I think what I just would want, I would hope for women is to just be able to kind of own the decision a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, know that if you're going to do that, you're making yourself, this is not even about him necessarily. This is about your decision to open yourself up that way and become vulnerable. And if it doesn't work out, if you find out, let's say you've gone on two dates with him in a week and you sleep with him on the second date, and by the second week you find out something about him that's not something you like.
Right.
Well, that's not his fault.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, I mean,
exactly.
That's like, you need to own the fact, well, I took this risk and here I am. I'm trying to figure out if this is a good person for me. And you have to just kind of own the fact that you are feeling a little more invested and connected in this person right now, and your judgment is clouded.
Right.
As far as, like, what you're going to put up with and what you're not.
Right.
And so it's so, you know, but then it's just so disappointing, you know, when you've already been sleeping with somebody for a couple of weeks and you just find out, oh, no, this is just not going to work, you know. But
No, this makes sense, you know. I mean, the thing is, I think also if a man wants to show the woman he's serious about her, then he'll wait, you know. I mean, the thing is that what's the rush?
If he... is, and again, it's not a formula. It's not like, well, I really care about you, so I waited until the third date to even, you know, touch your boob. It's not that. It's that if she is able to verbalize, I'm not really ready to move, like, I'm having a great time with you, but, you know, I don't want to invite you in because I'm just not ready to go there.
Right.
And he can respect that because he doesn't want her to have that experience until she's ready.
Right.
Because he wants it to be a mutually comfortable, enjoyable, safe, fun experience.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Then, yes. Then he's a guy who, like, sees you as a person, and he wants, you know.
Right.
I'm not saying he deserves a medal, or that most guys aren't even like that. I mean, right. most guys, I think, want it to be a mutual experience. I mean, that's as a guy, true. You don't want to feel not wanted or like you're pushing yourself on somebody. I mean, so, you know, it's, I mean, everybody wants to feel wanted, you know, so if, it, you know, it's just, it's a way of really getting more information about that person at a, in a real time pace, mm-hmm. as opposed to sort of feeling all of this emotional intimacy that's really kind of created from the sexual bond.
Yeah.
Which isn't, you know, that's not such a bad thing. I really like the intimacy created by a sexual bond. I'm not even saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying it
Thank
does,
you for clarifying
it does
that
make you more vulnerable. That's all. And so... Yeah.
How long did you wait with this second relationship?
Oh, gosh. Well, we started emailing in August, but there was serious heat, serious chemistry.
Really?
Yeah. And
So you guys couldn't wait.
Yeah, it was a couple dates, you know.
There you go.
I was really uh-huh. like, it was this of course, because I liked him. I was just like, oh shit, what am I doing? And both of us were, because you know, we're both grown ups, both divorced, both a little like, oh shit, this uh-huh. is really good. What does that mean? And now, you know, we were both kind of aware of it. So. It was a little scary.
Yeah.
It was scary because the bond was so intense.
Really?
And wow. Yeah. And it took us months to really like have an official, you know, commitment kind of thing, because it was just so scary. Right. Like, wow. You know, because you know, you're divorcing. I was like, the third woman he met or something, you know, after. And he's like, oh, what do I do now? So, and I wasn't even, you know, finished with my divorce. So I'm sitting here kind of trying to navigate all of this emotion that's happening through here. And, you know, it was a discipline. It was a real discipline to, like, handle it. And it was harder, you know.
Yeah.
But, and that's why I'm saying there's no specific, like, time frame. I think it's just a matter of, feeling, do you feel seen by this person? Mm-hmm. Do you feel like he's here and wanting this with you for the same reasons that you want
right.
it.
And if it's not forced, you know, I mean, if it's not, you know, you don't want to do it just because he wants to and you don't want to disappoint him.
Or
because
you've had too many margaritas.
Right, exactly. You know? So the thing is, you just kind of go with the flow. I mean, if you're both swept by the passion and everything, just go for it.
Yes, you know that you're taking
risks.
The risk emotionally. Right. That's all. Just own the risk.
Right. Okay. All right, sounds good. Okay, well, Sophie Venable, we are out of time. And
I'm always talking too much.
That's the point here. I told you in the beginning. So tell people how they can get a hold of you, how they can find out about your the stuff you write and everything.
Okay, well, my
and your life coach too. So
yes, my website is makeyourlifefabulous.com, and the book, the first book that'll be coming out is MILF 101, and you can ask me advice questions at AskSophieAdvice@gmail.com.
Sounds good. There you go. And obviously she has a lot to say, so you guys want to get in touch with her for sure.
Yeah.
Sophie, thank you so much for joining us. A lot of fun.
Thank you for having me. It was fun. I've missed you. So.
Well, good. I've missed you too, so now you're here.
Yay.
All right. Thanks, Mia.
All right.
Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Thanks,
we'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you.
You have been listening to Sam in the Morning with Mia, which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you have a question for the show or if you'd like to inquire about sponsorship opportunities, please send an email along to sam@latalkradio.com. Sam in the Morning with Mia is a production of LA Talk Radio, where we say what we want.